Taking a look now at the issues of foreclosure and bankruptcy, our guest, Ken Doran, who is a Madison-based attorney. He's the author of the book Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment, a second edition published by Random House. Really happy to have Ken comes by every so often to talk with us about what's going on in this whole area. And certainly there's been a lot going on here, especially in the last year or two. Here in Wisconsin, I think we've had something like 10,000 bankruptcy filings through June 30th of this year. And that's it's about 2,400 or so more than the year before for the same six-month period. So a lot of consumers, you might be one of them, have pushed into insolvency. And so we're visiting with Ken about the whole process. You may have questions about bankruptcy or about foreclosure yourself. You may have questions about the trends associated with it. Why, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area at 263-1890. Ken, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again. Appreciate it very much.
Good morning, Larry. Good to be here.
Are Wisconsin filings generally following the national trend pretty much?
Pretty much. We are in an upward trend. It probably would be surprising if it were any other way. We are.
Yeah.
Have been over the last probably 30 years or more an ever-increasing availability of credit. Our healthcare system may be fixed someday, but it hasn't been yet. And we're also, of course, in very rough economic times. So if that combination doesn't put a fair number of people into financial trouble, I don't know what would.
Are we seeing more, could we say, affluent households in trouble with mortgage debt than in past years?
I think so. There's very serious problems in the mortgage market, which anybody who's followed the news at all knows is the case. And a lot of people get squeezed. And, of course, the more resources you have put into a home and the more you have reached with or without a good basis for thinking you could do it, the more trouble you can get into and the higher the numbers that you're up against if things do not go well.
Yeah. I was reading somewhere, I think it might have been the Wall Street Journal, but on foreclosures in the second quarter, one home in 408 in Wisconsin was in at some point of the foreclosure process, which is an astounding number to me.
Pretty impressive in a negative way. Other parts of the country, there are spots where it's even worse. We are actually getting a bad enough version of it, but a sort of a muted version in the mid part of the country where there's a lot of open space to build on. Home prices tend to be less volatile in good times and bad than in larger metropolitan areas, particularly on the coasts. So that's bad, and only by comparison, some people actually have it worse.
Yeah, actually, what was it? Realty Track reported that across the country, one home in 171 was in foreclosure, which that is just an astounding number.
Well, it is, and it's a trend that is some people saw coming, a lot of people didn't, and is now being analyzed at great length. But the long-term government policy of encouraging home ownership took a turn over the last several years where the mortgage markets became ever more creative. And in the process, the mechanisms where people making the loans had a strong incentive to keep a close eye on those loans got separated from the people who actually own the loans, and there was more of an incentive to make the loans and to think about or monitor what was happening to them.
Yeah.
And the results from that perspective are kind of predictable.
Yeah. Kind of glad that we settled on a fixed rate mm-hmm. when we went to our home mortgage. I didn't really, even though you could have gotten less or a smaller rate on an adjustable, I was kind of happy to know, okay, this is what I'm going to be paying for the next 15 years on my home loan.
Well, I haven't been in the mortgage market in a while, but if I were, that's what we did when we bought a house 20 years ago, and I think I would do that again. Basically get the best fixed rate you can, and then you essentially have a one-way float. If the rates go in your direction, then you can refinance. If they don't, then you're in very good shape. There are cases where a fixed rate does serve a purpose for people who are fairly sure they're going to be moving in a reasonable amount of time and therefore aren't taking that much of a risk. But most of the worst situations I see are variable rate mortgages and the problems you can get into with tracking the accurate corrections and payments creates a whole level of complexity. There's enough to go wrong on a fixed rate mortgage without throwing that in.
Well, we have callers online to visit with you, and let's go to the phones. And Mark in Milton, you're up. Mark, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having this. My wife was just asking me this question today, and now I have an expert to answer it. Been through a patch, had to use credit cards. Now we've refinanced at a very nice rate on our home so we can pay them off. And the question is it doing me more harm than good to try to get the credit card people to knock some stuff off? Because I've read that that can really make a black mark on your credit rating. Or is it just to pay it off?
Okay, you have the money from the refinancing but have not yet paid off the credit cards, is that
correct? That's it, that's it.
If you have the cash in hand to negotiate with, you probably can negotiate some significant discounts. And you may want to do that if you take that approach. Be very careful that you get the deal in writing and that it is crystal clear when you pay the money you are paying off the account in full satisfaction. And you can attempt also to get a deal that specifically determines how they report it on your credit record. That gets more complicated than can try and do here. If you're willing to do some internet research, you can probably find some information on that. The trade-off here is between, which I deal with a lot, between dealing with your actual dollars and cents issue and worrying about your credit rating. And my opinion on this is that to a large extent, credit ratings are overrated. And one of the functions that they serve is to deter people from doing what's in their own financial interest. And if you've got a fair amount of money at stake in getting those credit cards settled at a lower rate, then you have to consider whether there's anything that's going to happen on your credit report that's going to outweigh that. If you think there is, then pay them off in full. But I would certainly explore the possibility of trying to negotiate some discounts.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. David in Mountain, we'll go to you next. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. Hey, I have a question. I had filed bankruptcy about 5 years ago, and I have a tax lien or a judgment from the state of Wisconsin Department of Revenue. And I'm currently on a payment plan and have been for the last couple years, but they do not report that onto my credit history or my credit report. So that is still holding everything back, you know, even though I've been paying my bills and my credit score has gone back up to a normal rate again. How do I go about getting them to report that it's satisfactory and I'm paying it on time?
If your credit score has gone back up, what exactly is being held back?
Well, when I went to, like, refinance a car or to get a new car, they said no because of that tax lien on there. Because it shows just the tax lien of like $50,000 or more, and you know, with interest, and it doesn't say that I'm currently paying it. It just shows that I owe it, and it's like a
total amount
balance.
Okay,
good question. I honestly don't know if there is a mechanism to handle that. I don't do enough of negotiating with the tax authorities to do it. Even if you've handled this yourself up to now, you might want to find an accountant or a lawyer who does a lot of tax work. They would be the ones who would know if there is a way of handling that might change what shows up on that credit record.
Yeah,
I have that like $9,000 to have them do that.
Oh, so, I see.
Those kind of experts can certainly be expensive. It shouldn't cost $9,000 to get an answer to that question. You might try chopping around a little further if you make clear you're not looking for someone to redo your agreement, but strictly to answer questions and see if there's anything to be done about that specific credit record issue.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263 1890. Are you also seeing landlords with rental properties seeking bankruptcy?
I have seen some of those. I do not know the detailed statistics of how far that spills over. Because it is a difficult economy across the board, we're getting some of everything. From my understanding of the numbers is that the very sharp swing in real estate that affected single-family homes has been much less extreme in most types of rental and commercial properties, and rents have not gone up. That's one of the remarkable things of the relationship between how much it costs to buy a house and how much it would cost to rent the same house drifted very far out of the historical norm and is only partway back. But yes, I have seen some people in those situations. They have more trouble refinancing than they would otherwise, and can have the same problems as a homeowner, only perhaps even more complicated where there's multiple properties involved.
We're talking the issue of foreclosure and bankruptcy today with Ken Doran, and pleased to have him with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, talking the issue of foreclosure and bankruptcy now with Ken Doran, his Madison-based attorney. He's the author of the book Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment, published by Random House. Really happy to have him with us today to talk about this whole process. We can talk about the foreclosure process in Wisconsin, how long it takes to complete, what you have to go through, what's the difference between a foreclosure judgment and a default judgment, when does a sheriff's sale come into play. We can talk about all that, and of course we can answer your questions as well, and I hope you'll join in with those questions at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, we hope you'll join us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Back after the news. Talking foreclosure and bankruptcy issues now with Ken Doran, Madison-based attorney, author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment, published by Random House. Pleased to have him with us today. Certainly, if you have some questions in the foreclosure area, the bankruptcy area, we hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. You can email us, too, at talk@wpr.org. And Christine in Fond du Lac's on board with a question, so let's go to Christine. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. My question is, what resources are there available currently for those people who are about to be foreclosed upon but just have bitten off more than they can chew but maybe could possibly still make it through?
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of different approaches, and it's a complicated process. And I honestly don't think in terms of the legal process, it's something that I would recommend people handle by themselves. I would very strongly recommend anybody who does get a foreclosure lawsuit to find a lawyer who handles those kind of cases and find out what your rights are. There's a lot of misinformation out there. People will flatly and confidently tell you that this is the way it is, and a lot of times it just isn't. You can't count on, certainly on the lenders to give you good advice. You can't, court personnel aren't allowed to give you advice on it, and your neighbor or friend who thinks they know probably doesn't. So, and you may well write, whether you think you are going to be able to stay in that house or not, either way, you have important rights you need to know about. And there may be other options, such as a Chapter 13 repayment plan that may save your home, that no one's going to come knock on your door and explain to you. The people who send you things in the mail at that stage are interested, you know, almost invariably in some sort of refinancing arrangement with a commission to be made, which may work for some people, but certainly isn't the only option. There are lender programs where they will rewrite things, renegotiate things. You certainly can look into those. There's the trap there, though. I've seen many, many people who have tried that in good faith and basically had the clock run out, and they end up coming to me or another lawyer at the absolute last minute when they're mostly out of options because that company-run procedure didn't work. The advantage of being in court is that the lender does not make all the rules, and you can enforce your own legal rights and achieve things you might not be able to otherwise.
Hmm. So you and you look for somebody as an attorney then. What kind of attorney are you looking for then?
There aren't that many lawyers who specialize in doing foreclosure defense work. It's frankly very difficult for a lawyer to make much of a living at that because people who are facing foreclosure don't have a lot of money. They're not likely to be able to sue somebody else and recover money on it. If you can find some a lawyer who does that, that's fine. If not, my next suggestion would be look for a lawyer who does Chapter 13 bankruptcy reorganization cases for two reasons. One is they almost inevitably deal with foreclosures and are likely to know something about it. And secondly, that's an option you may need to be aware of because that is, in a fair number of cases, the best option for catching up a mortgage and saving a house when nothing else will work.
And let's just talk about that for a minute. You obviously can't go into every detail of the Chapter 13, but basically what does it allow a person to do?
It's a debt repayment program handled through the bankruptcy court. Most Chapter 13s are partial bankruptcies that involve paying some debts and not others or less than 100 cents on the dollar to many categories of debts. Specifically, as it applies to foreclosures, it will give you a chance to go back to making the payments as if you were current and get court approval to make catch-up payments over a period of time. And the beauty of it, again, is it's not optional for the lender. The court will order that the payments be handled that way. And that makes a huge difference. A lot of today, more and more mortgages are owned by combinations of complex national corporations. And simply finding someone who has the authority to make a deal, even if they want to, can be extremely difficult. So having a mechanism that doesn't require that kind of a decision-making process voluntarily by the lender can make a huge difference.
Thank you, Christine, for your call. Appreciate it. Susan in Madison will go to you next. Susan, hi.
Hi. A couple of months ago, I had been interested in buying a foreclosed property. I spoke to the sheriff's office a couple of times. In Dane County, I just wonder, is there any alternative? You have to, your bid, your 10% bid has to be in cash. And then when it comes up in court a couple of weeks later, you have to pay for the whole thing all at once in cash or a cashier's check. And there's just no way I can do that. So is there any other way to do it?
There's nothing in the legal foreclosure process itself that provides any other way to do it. And if you're going to literally buy a property at the sheriff's foreclosure sale, then you need to make those requirements and get your own financing. And that, of course, may be very difficult. Typical lenders at your local bank or savings and loan or mortgage broker generally are not going to be inclined to lend for that kind of a situation, although you can certainly ask. You need to find a specialized investor to do it. Another alternative is that most foreclosure sales end up with the property being bought by the lender because the amount owed on the mortgage is as much or more than the property is worth, and it's not worth it for an outside investor to buy it. If that happens, then they want to resell it on the open market, and then you should have a better chance of going through the normal financing and mortgage process.
Okay.
So that may be a better, more practical alternative.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions as we talk foreclosure and bankruptcy with Ken Doran at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. What's the foreclosure? Let's go through the foreclosure process in Wisconsin and how long it takes to complete and so forth.
All right. I'll run through the process for a Wisconsin home mortgage foreclosure. And each of those words is important. If you're in a different state, the rules are different. If it's a land contract or something other than a mortgage, that changes things. And if it's not your home, that changes things. But the most common situation is a home mortgage foreclosure. It is a form of a lawsuit. It starts with the filing of papers, which need to be delivered in person. They can't come strictly through the mail. And we'll give you 20 days to respond. Occasionally, if there's some real dispute where you did make the payments, but they lost them or something, that you're entitled to contest that in court. If you cannot do not have that kind of a defense, then in most cases, the lender will get what's called a foreclosure judgment within a month or two. That is followed by 6 months of what's called a redemption period, where you still have the right to, you still own the property and still have the right to pay off the mortgage by selling or refinancing. You may still be able to negotiate with the lender voluntarily through that stage, but your right to just resume making the payments isn't quite so clear. If nothing happens to change things, then after that six-month period runs out, a sheriff's sale will be held, followed by another month or so of paperwork. And if nothing has happened to change the course of things, then whoever bought it at the sale, often but not always the lender, becomes the owner of the property. It does pay to look into your rights early on. Again, you may have more options than you know. A lot of foreclosure complaints these days are not, don't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and simply by standing up for your rights of making sure everything is done properly may at a minimum provide you more time. So there's a lot more in the details on it. But Wisconsin does have pretty good laws of requiring some time on it. The process takes a minimum of 8 or 9 months and often closer to a year. And if you are aware of what's going on and use the time wisely, that can be very beneficial.
Yeah. Let's take some more calls here. And Tom in Stevens Point is up next. Tom, yes, hello.
Yes, hello. My wife and I are contemplating bankruptcy. But before the bankruptcy, we were looking at buying a car and financing a car because we need a new car. And I was looking to see what problems, if any, it would create to purchase a car, to finance the car before filing the bankruptcy. And I'll answer off the phone or radio.
Okay.
Probably none. I would suggest that if you're to the point of seriously thinking about it, is consult one or more lawyers and get some good advice on it, because the answer may depend on the particulars of your situation. Chances are that if it makes sense otherwise and you do need the car and the price is within a range you can afford, it may actually make more sense to do it before you file a bankruptcy. Just maybe a little easier that way. And again, depending on a lot of details of your situation, it may actually help you of setting up your finances so there is less chance of anything being contested in the bankruptcy. But I think you need specific advice about your situation before you can really make a clear decision on that.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Again, join us at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. The IRS came into play here earlier. Do you get to... Can the IRS cut a deal? I guess they do cut deals once in a while. Do they have installment plans and so forth like that?
Yes, they do. And it's a world of specialization, and I'm not particularly a tax specialist, so I don't do a lot of the detailed work with that. There are specific programs where you can offer a compromise on taxes or set up installment arrangements, as I believe one of our earlier callers indicated he had. And there are also procedural rights you have to protect yourself on that. So if you have serious amount of taxes, you do need to carefully advise yourself of your rights on that. And that does also interact with bankruptcy. Some older personal income taxes can be discharged in bankruptcy, which often comes as a surprise to many people. And it's complicated. For a starting point, they have to be at least 3 years old. For instance, someone filing bankruptcy now might, under some circumstances, be able to discharge personal income taxes for the years up through 04. But from there on, it gets complicated, and you need to do some work on it, but it's a possibility.
Let's go to Jeff in Eau Claire next. Jeff, hi to you.
Hi, thank you. My question is, if you were to purchase a property at a sheriff's sale, when you purchase that, then are you required to pay the original lien holder or the original mortgage holder, their balance or what was owed to them?
Well, what happens at the end of a foreclosure process is the sheriff holds a sale, which is actually an auction. A tiny percentage of them actually have much back and forth bidding as you would typically think of as an auction, but they can, and it goes to the highest bidder. The bidder actually gets what is called a sheriff's deed, which means that you acquire the property free and clear of the rights of the lender who foreclosed and anyone with lesser rights who was named in the foreclosure. And it's already getting complicated, so unless you know what you're doing, you're going to want to get some advice to make sure you understand the process. But done right, you can get clear title to it ahead of all the old loans. And the whole point of the foreclosure is to clear out those old debts on it. But you should only end up having to pay the price that you bid at the sheriff's sale and any prior liens, which usually means taxes. Taxes are the real first mortgage. Real estate taxes are the real first mortgage, and you need to be aware if those are out there because those you will still need to pay. But you're going to want to get a careful title search or your own title insurance to have someone who knows exactly what they're doing check out that title so you do not run into surprises about what you might be on the hook for.
So there could be property taxes that hadn't been paid that the new purchaser would be responsible for the old property?
That is absolutely correct. And you're going to want to know that in advance and not be surprised by it afterward.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. How often does a sheriff sale actually come into play, or when does it come into play, and how
well,
often?
Pretty often, unless it's otherwise settled somehow. That's how all foreclosures end. Now, a lot of times there's not that much to it. If you owe $200,000 in a mortgage on a property that's now worth $190,000 or even $210,000, and you've missed the payments, and we've gone through that whole process we described a little earlier, then usually what's going to happen is the sheriff opens the auction and ABC Mortgage Company bids the amount of their mortgage because they're essentially buying it with their own money, and that's the end of the auction, and then the rest of the paperwork proceeds, and the mortgage company ends up as the new owner of the property. But not always. If the property is a relatively low mortgage but the owner has been unable to pay or didn't pay for some reason, and there are investors who think they can make a profit on it, you may very well have a genuine auction to see who's willing to pay the highest price for it.
But usually they go pretty fast.
Most of them are auctions only in theory, and that's really all that happens is the lender buys it back.
Oh, boy. So as we look at, there's different kinds of judgments. There's a foreclosure judgment, a default judgment.
A default judgment simply means that there was a lawsuit that was not contested at all or not effectively contested.
Oh,
and the,
okay.
The court says not the plaintiff wins and the defendant loses. The judge says, in effect, I don't see any defendant ever showed up, so the plaintiff wins. A high percentage of all civil lawsuits do go to default judgments, including many foreclosures. I would say the majority of foreclosure judgments are also default judgments because people never contest them.
Mm. Mary and Edgar, we'll go to you next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question about what does it mean when it says pre-foreclosure price?
Where do you see that?
See that on my internet service with foreclosures that are listed in this area.
Oh, so you're looking at foreclosures on homes.
Yes.
And then what does it say when?
They have what's called a pre-foreclosure price. What does that mean?
I am not 100% sure. I'd have to see the actual website. I would assume that it's the price somebody is willing to sell it for with a foreclosure looming in some way or another to buy it now before it goes through a foreclosure and gets put on a different track.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, without seeing it in context, I'm not exactly sure what they're saying there.
Well, I just wondered because I see that in some properties that are in this area.
It makes your description makes some sense, Ken. But
it's what it sounds like to me, but mm-hmm. that's the best yeah. I can tell you.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thanks, Mary. And Mike in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the program.
Sure.
Just a quick question to the guest. All these late-night infomercial-type programs, half-hour-long, that we see, where the intent and motive is to purchase foreclosed properties, make millions, live happily ever after. Maybe the guest could give us some insights into the real opportunities available to people that buy foreclosed properties thinking they're going to make millions.
Well, it's be a very skeptical consumer of anything you sign up for or pay out your hard-earned money for. Real estate investing is real estate investing. A lot of people make their fortunes at it, and a lot of people do reasonably well at it, and a lot of people get clobbered. And there's 100 different ways of going about it, and one is to buy foreclosed properties, and if you get the right deals at the right time and know what you're doing and either understand where the market's going better than most people or get lucky, you can do very well on it. But if there was any easy pickings out there where pretty much anybody could take an hour course and go make a lot of money at it, it wouldn't be there very long. A lot of people would be filling that niche, so to speak. So can't say much generally beyond that. If you want to go into real estate investing in either foreclosed properties or otherwise, and that's your calling or opportunity in life, go for it. But I wouldn't bank too heavily on any one program from an infomercial or otherwise. Educate yourself as thoroughly as you possibly can and know the realities of the law and your own particular local market and think everything through many, many times. And if you want to go for it, go for it.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Tom in Mequon, I think, is up next. So let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Larry. I'm wondering, Zen, if a person has a bankruptcy, what is the best way to build their credit back up? And I'm wondering if having new credit cards might be a help in that.
Well, perhaps to a limited extent. What your recent credit history and paying things on time will help. I say that with some trepidation because it can lead too easily of, oops, I better get out there and borrow some money to make my credit better. And you can go wrong doing that. Generally speaking, the best position to be in credit is not paying out interest on it. And there are exceptions to that. Almost impossible to buy a house without a loan. And most people consider it reasonable if it's well thought out to buy something like a car on credit. Other than that, your long-run financial health is going to be promoted by avoiding credit, not figuring out how to qualify for it. So it may make sense to make some very limited, responsible use of credit to improve your history on it, but make darn sure that that's what you're doing and does not turn into a cover to get back in debt and possibly forfeit the the entire point of having to go through that bankruptcy process.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, Ken, we're down here to the last minute or so. Any last-minute advice here for folks?
Well, tying in with that call, and I think also going back to our first caller, I think was Mark in Milton, who was going to use proceeds of a sale to pay off his credit cards. I would just say to anybody in that situation is, if it works, if you have the value in your home to do that and it's a one-time fix and you're sure you're on top of your situation, that's fine. But be very careful. Is the value in your home is your trump card, and if you've got credit cards you can't handle any other way, you might want to think of whether you're better off to file a bankruptcy and keep that hard-won equity in your home and rebuild your finances rather than use that up paying credit cards. If there's any risk at all, you're going to find yourself in the same situation. And the time to check that out is before you pay those credit cards rather than after.
Thank you, Ken. Ken Doran, our guest today. We'll have him back and talk some more about this. Ken's a Madison-based attorney, author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment by Random House, published by Random House. Pleased to have him with us, and we'll be taking up this issue again. Tomorrow on the program, engineering professor Michael Corradini will join us, and he's going to be looking at energy policy choices. What are the candidates saying about energy policy look forward to that. And also, Doris Green has a new book out to navigate Wisconsin, and it's called Wisconsin Rivers. So that'll be a lot of fun to talk with Doris Green again as well. And it's always fun to hear from you with your calls and questions. Thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.